This is all about theater, political theater stuff. I
Yep.
remember when he was arguing with Zelensky in Washington and saying, "You're not going to do that. I'm going to do this." And these people are basically manipulating all, because they know that there are people in Russia, in Iran, that they want to hear that there is some sort of difference.
Oh,
These people
yeah.
are doing, they're serious. They want to put it. The guy could have put an end to the war in the 20. He said that in 24 hours. He said, "I'm not going to help him. I'm not going to help you. Go ahead and do it by yourself."
He could switch
Simple.
Starlink off and that would be over.
Exactly. That's all. No drone gonna hit the target. That's all. It shows that, Elon Musk is, he said, these people are so connected. They're profiting from these
Of
wars.
course.
We are missing the big picture.
Yep,
The
yep.
big picture of the war in the Middle East and of the war in Ukraine is those people who are profiting from these wars. And they're running the show. They have the Congress, they have the president, they have, the oligarchs, and Elon Musk is part of that circle. So how can you imagine that these people are going to go against the policy?
Of course.
And do they care about Ukraine? When they say Ukraine is winning, what does that mean? Which is what Ukraine is winning? Which part of Ukraine is winning? Who's winning in Ukraine? The people are winning. Zelensky is winning. Who's winning? No. I think the answer is the military industrial complex is winning in Ukraine.
Yep.
That's why they're
It, not the not
selling.
the Ukrainian military industrial complex,
No,
the American.
exactly. The
Yeah.
US military industrial
Oh
complex, not even European military industrial
yeah.
complex. They don't have that much of capabilities in Europe. And we know the situation with the energy in Europe and
Yep.
how dependent they are on the United States, on the energy sector. And with this case of the West Asia, their problem is growing in Europe, in Germany, in France. That's why you see France going to Oman, talking with the Omani government to open up the Strait of Hormuz, and we're going to do it. These sort of activities on their part is out of desperation. They're desperate in Europe.
Oh, absolutely.
But when I'm talking about Mickey Mad, as Ray McGovern says, that the Mickey Mad military, industrial, congressional, think tank, media, all together, it's in the United States and is profiting from the wars.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not, well, it's not just profiting for the wars. I mean, look, the end result goal is to dominate the resources and the industries that they don't have. That would be Russia, that would be Iran, and in the end, that'll be China. And then everybody else will just fall in line. At least that's their concept. So, Iran needs to be replaced regime-wise. Russia needs to be destroyed into 40 different countries or 30 different countries, 20 different countries. Who cares at that point? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's from the Iranian side? What do you think they're gonna continue playing tit for tat, or just finally just unleash and wipe what's left of the American bases out?
No, tit for tat. Iran's policy right now is to close
Mm-hmm.
completely the Strait of Hormuz, unless the United States decides to do something in Lebanon, to do something in the Strait of Hormuz. And as the head of the Iranian parliament said, they're basically violating the clause number five or paragraph number five of MOU.
That
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they have the document signed by Donald Trump, at least. You signed this document. What are you doing in the
That
Strait of Hormuz? It says the mechanism is managed by Iranians, is managed. It mentioned in that clause, in that paragraph. So they have some sort of document to argue. If you're here, we're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. It doesn't matter. What else can you do? You're going to attack us, we're going to retaliate. And not only the Strait of Hormuz, the case of Lebanon. I firmly believe, Stas, that Iran, the only solution, the only leverage the region or the acts of resistance has is the Strait of Hormuz. And there is no way to put pressure on the United States. No one is capable. Since the war started, I thought maybe these GCC countries that are investing a lot in the United States, they may have something to say in the United States, or their lobbies in the United States could do something. But these are not important players for the United States.
At the end of the day,
they can be removed easily from the scene. Even Erdogan, Turkey is not that important.
Yeah.
They don't have any leverage over the United States. The only leverage is the Strait of Hormuz on the United States.
Oh, no. There's another leverage. Israel.
Yeah, Israel. Yeah. Now, I'm talking about on the part of the acts of resistance, on the part of Iranians, how you can put pressure on the United States to do something about the Israeli behavior in the region. The only way is the Strait of Hormuz. There is no other solution. None of these governments have the capabilities to put pressure on the United States. This is the reality. This is many people should understand that. And whoever is trying to help Donald Trump, and it is Turkey or Turkey or other GCC countries, they don't understand if the main issue is Palestine and Israeli occupation in the southern part of Lebanon or in Syria, the only solution is the Strait of Hormuz and the American economy. When you put pressure on the American economy, then the pressure goes to those oligarchs and they're losing more money and they put pressure on the foreign policy of the United States. That's the only way, in my opinion.
I don't think it's even the oligarchs, because a lot of those oligarchs, like it or not, are Israelis. They have dual citizenship. I think it's the fact that there's an election on, coming up. That's probably the only thing that I think Trump wouldn't even care. If it wasn't elections, I don't think he would even care.
The guy is the second term of Donald Trump. I think what he cares a lot is about who's going to be the next president of the United States and how can they put pressure on Donald Trump. Yeah. If Democrats, let's assume this, midterm elections are so important. The outcome of those are so important. Not only, impeaching Donald Trump, putting political pressure on his administration is part of the game on the part of Democrats. But what matters the most, in my opinion, is the next president of the United States. Is it going to be Republican or Democrat? And that could bring, because they know they're watching how Donald Trump himself and his family are getting so rich. They're just making a lot of money, and they're going to go after him. They're going to go after him. And Donald Trump has each and every interest in the next president of the United States. Is he going to blow or destroy everything? Or he's going to do something for the next president? Or maybe he wants to support J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio to be the next president? This is the question in my mind. And he cares. He really cares about the next president. That's the key, in my opinion.
You think he's going to try to do term number three or fourth election victory, as he puts it? He would pull it. They had an interesting rally where Addison, she comes over there and I will give him $240 million. I'll give it to him again. And we've got lawyers working on, changing basically they're talking about changing the Constitution or going around the amendment. Trump for a third term. And they were like, third term. You're like, So I'm not sure what he may try.
No, I don't think that he's going to go that far. He's mentally not there anymore. I don't know if he's going to end up his second term in a good, conditions. And the guy is just these signs that are coming out of every time he's talking about the wars, some domestic and some domestic problems or the problems in Ukraine, in the Middle East, and considering foreign policy of the United States. You understand the guy is not that sharp anymore.
Or he was never that sharp to begin with.
This is a serious problem for him. He doesn't want... The guy has a big ego, the biggest ego that you can imagine. He doesn't want to be, you know, he knows that if he goes that far, it gets something like, you know, Joe Biden. You remember Joe Biden in the last, you know, days or months of before, you know, being, you know, before ending his term, it was, everybody was making joke about Joe Biden.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be in that strong a position.
I don't think Biden cared because
he was not functional.
Biden understood what
functional.
Yeah, he's non-functional. But you know, I don't know if Trump would actually even realize that though. I mean, when it's a
he's
a
so
narcissist.
Close to the Joe Biden, because
he's a narcissist,
when Joe
though.
Biden during the when he was running against Joe Biden, and Joe Biden when he was running for the presidency, you can see the signs, the way he was talking about the issues. And those signs are appearing in the Trump's behavior right now. That's why I don't see Donald Trump continuing 2028 being presidential, you know, candidate or anything. This is delusional. And the guy, there is a guy who is, you know, making these sort of arguments, this so-called Professor Jiang. And
oh, God, that guy.
The guy is so...
He's no professor, let's begin with that. He's a high school teacher.
Yeah.
He's right off the bat. He's no professor.
What amazes me that everybody... I talked with him once because I thought that he has some points. But when I talk with him, this guy is AI. And it's not real. He gets a lot of, he has a lot of information. He gets basically from the everyday information, some statistics, this and that. But when it comes to the outcomes, he's basically making absurd arguments about everything.
Well,
right now, he's talking, you know, the latest argument when it comes to the war in Ukraine, he says Russia is trapped. Russia is somehow losing the war in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what everybody in the West says from the leadership.
Israel gonna dominate the whole West Asia. It's going to call it the Pax Judaica.
Yes, I heard that.
The guy is...
Did you catch where he said that Trump is preparing an army of 650,000 soldiers waiting for winter to invade Iran? Like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
The entirety of the American Army plus Marine Corps is 540. And that's not combat soldiers. That's everybody. There's maybe like 120,000 combat soldiers. He's got 650,000 combat soldiers. Like, never mind. Where would you hide them that the satellites wouldn't see? You know, the guy. Yeah, you're right. You think he's AI or do you think he's a human being just full of
shit? I talked with Scott Ritter once. He said, I think the guy is AI. I said, Scott, I think you have a point by mentioning that. The guy is AI.
But he's responding pretty fast to people's questions. But I mean, he's full of crap.
But the guy is, because he's basically getting all this information from AI and he's preparing for this talk.
Oh, you think he's a human being just working with AI? Or is he just AI?
No, I'm not talking about his AI, literally AI. Oh. He's using AI to gather these sort of absurd ideas about, you know, these are geopolitical issues. These are real issues.
Just to make an assertion, 650,000. First of all, with modern satellite technology, how would you hide that? Never mind that. That's 650,000 combat troops. You're going to need another 1.5 million to 2 million to support that. Convoys of trucks, you know, just the logistics of it. So if anybody with any sense of understanding of supply chain logistics would know, that's impossible. It's just freaking impossible. Maybe in 3 years of building up, I mean, and a draft and all that, you could do that. U.S. could do that. If marshaled everything it had, called a draft and all that, in 3 to 4 years, and could find a place to stay that, where you could marshal them without getting hit by Iranian missiles all the time, too, while you're at it. But yeah, it's... I stopped listening to... I understood how full of crap he was when he did the Pax Israel.
Pax Judaica,
yeah.
That's a guy.
That guy. Oh my God. But he's gotten pretty popular though for being full of crap.
Because you know, there are people out. I literally, my understanding that there's some people helping him with the algorithm. And I don't know who's that force is. Larry Johnson said once, I had a discussion with Larry Johnson. He says he believes that the guy is a Mossad agent.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Every time he talks, he said, Mossad doing this and that, you know. He goes, basically, the whole argument is against CIA and Mossad. But when it comes to the conclusion, it's totally in favor of the Mossad agenda and CIA agenda.
That's maybe a CIA agent. Yeah, he maybe not Mossad, but they're pretty joined at the hip.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the outcome is literally, you know, the outcome is what they want. And
yeah. You're right. He
penetrated those people who are angry, who don't like these sort of policies. He's talking the same way the people, the audience like it, and then comes to the conclusion totally the opposite way. So
he's manipulating them.
You know, one of the strange things that he said, that when the moment that the United States leaves the West Asia, that is the moment that Israel is going to capture all those American bases as going to be the dominant force in the West Asia. How you can make sense of it?
Well, because there's 650,000 American combat soldiers waiting for winter.
No, he says Israel is replacing the United States using the same air bases, the same bases in the West Asia, becoming the dominant power. How can you? I told him, I asked him, how can you imagine a country of 8 million people going to dominate the whole West Asia? I said, they're going to use the chips and in the people, they're going to put it inside people and they're going to, you know, control the whole region. You're just doing an amazing job with these conspiracy theories. And there are people just following him and thinking, this guy is so good. And they seek a lot of information. Yeah, the AI is working the best.
Trash in, trash out. I was asked several times, hey, won't you get him on? I'm like, man, this guy's full of crap. I'm not putting him on my podcast. I'm sorry. I'm not talking to this guy. This guy's so full of crap. But it's occasionally I listen to a little bit of his stuff just because it was some the big title. I'm like, what's he going to say? Like, yep, same for full of crap. And when I say occasional, I mean very rarely. But after the Pax Americana, Pax Judea, like I said, the second time I listened to him was like a couple months later when he started talking about the 650,000 phantom American combat soldiers. I guess, you know, maybe they're robots, you know, waiting for winter. I guess if they're robots, they wouldn't care if it's winter.
It's all strange. Yeah.
That guy is... Yeah, but again, you're right. They've got to be gaming the system because, man, he is just everywhere and like that.
Exactly. I mean,
there's no buildup. He's just there.
They penetrated the alternative media using this guy. Literally penetrated. And you see, I had him on my podcast. He goes on other podcasts in the alternative media. And these are not good signs, I think, because they tried. It's part of the plan to penetrate, to influence those audience who are not listening anymore to the mainstream media.
Of course.
Basically defeating them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ron Paul, when he was senator, he had a sign on his desk. It was a lot of photographs. I mean, I don't know Ron Paul personally. I know one of the people close to him, Daniel McAdams, but I don't know him personally. But there was a lot of photos of this sign that was on his desk. And it said, don't steal. The government doesn't like competition. It's the same. Don't try to explain things to the world, to the population. The government doesn't like competition. So, of course, they're trying to penetrate. That's a gimme. That's something we should just understand. At every chance, they're going to try to penetrate. And you're right. I think you're absolutely right. This guy more likely is. Because for somebody to be that full of crap and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, holy.
And just looking at his contents are basically, they're mostly focused on the case of Israel.
Yeah,
most
not even on China or the East.
He says China. He says China doesn't have any strategy. These Chinese before Donald Trump going to China, just imagine before Donald Trump going to China, he said this is going to be the most important visit of China for the president of the United States is going there, and China going to make a deal. They're going to. They're going to put pressure on Iran. They're going to do this and that, improve the relationship. They're going to receive oil from the United States. Basically, literally everything he said was wrong. China is not going to be dependent on the United States when it comes to the oil and energy, because they know the United States sees them as their enemy.
Oh,
how
yeah,
can you
course.
Be dependent when it comes to the oil and energy sector?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that Trump wanted to come in there and look at Xi and throw the head of Venezuela and the head of Iran on the table and go, "You're mine." I'm sure that was his plan, but that didn't work out. I mean, he got Venezuela by just I kept getting asked, especially on Russian television, what's the American secret weapon they used? Like, it's called the dollar. That's the whole secret weapon, man. It ain't that secret. It's powerful. I mean, I'll give it that, but it's not secret. They just bought anybody and everybody they could buy.
It's everywhere.
But that doesn't work too well with Iran, but it worked real well with Venezuela. He couldn't quite throw. He got that one head on the table. He couldn't find the second head to throw on the table, so he had to push it back a month, and then, it's like whether now or never, but... I didn't listen to Zhang about that trip. Wow. That guy's fake. He's as fake as a wooden nickel.
He came out of nowhere.
China has no plan. I mean, China.
No plan, no strategy. China. It's all about making money. It's all about making money. Nothing about the security, nothing about the strategy, military strategy, geopolitical strategy, nothing. The guy is so...
Yeah. If you told me Germany has no plan, yeah, you could probably believe that. But China?
Yeah.
No China. Long-term plan? I mean, these people plan in like decades and centuries.
He says, you don't know China. I'm here in China. I live with these people. I do this and that. So I know Chinese people better
Has anybody had a photo of him in China, like recently, recent China?
Yeah, recently there is a guy called Cyrus, if I'm not mistaken. He went to China and met him in his apartment in China. I don't know why did he do that, because many people were arguing, who's this guy? Because latest time I talked with Larry Johnson, this guy doesn't live in China. Doesn't live in China, and you invite one of the podcasters in your apartment in China to show what? It means it's all about legitimizing the question, these doubts on the part of it from outside. Who's this guy? He came out of nowhere. He has no understanding. He's a teacher, as a high school teacher. He calls himself Professor Jiang. When he came to my podcast, he literally wrote down his name as Professor Jiang.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He was asked,
yeah.
Yeah. It's all, it doesn't matter if he lived, if he went to China to do this podcast or he lives there. What is important to me, because my mind is mathematic. I don't like this sort of, I want to see the outcome. Right. I want to see the numbers. I want to see the argument. I don't care about you live in China, you live in Brazil, you live in Iran, or just make these things coming together. His argument doesn't make sense mathematically. Doesn't make sense. It's not there. It's all based on conspiracy theories. It's all based on that. And so many people like these sort of conspiracies, they can follow him. They can be deceived. They can be manipulated. This is my understanding.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I fully agree. I've got a hard stop. I've got to do another program, and then my day's done. I want to thank you very much for coming on, Yuma. It's always a pleasure. And I think you're absolutely right, 100%. This guy, and people need to watch out, because you're right. He's very popular, and he is very manipulative. in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Pan Judea, baby. Pan Judea. from the Mongolian highlands all the way down to Morocco. It's going to be Pan Judea.
Yeah.
And nobody else. They'll kick all the other people out. Yeah. Just, yeah. Oh, man. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, everybody. For
thank you.
Us.
Tell us in the comments, what do you all think of Pan Judea? Yeah, Mongolian highlands all the way to the Moroccan highlands.